coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. Today, I'm your host, Jabron, Coach Jibs, and Steve's not with us today. I think he's kind of just love drunk on that Dolphins win yesterday against the Bills. So we'll be getting his graces back on Thursday for our Starts and Sits show. But with today, I have John, Coach John, with me. How's it going, bud?
Good, Coach Jibs. Just getting ready for this hurricane that's hitting Southwest Florida. But other than that, life is good, you know. Had a tough game with my Patriots, but, you know, c'est la vie.
Hey, well, I thought that would be the eyesore of a game, but they scored some points and some points galore. So I'm happy with the result. Hopefully, Mac Jones is all right and he could kind of perform and get back to being the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then the Eagles had a good game too. So I'm all happy.
Eagles are looking real good. Eagles are looking real good.
And fortunately for me, it's going to be raining, but not a hurricane. But I'm going to the game on Sunday, so I'm very excited.
Nice.
But let's just get in right into it. I know you want to do some preparations for your little hurricane party.
Have. Batten down the hatches, stock up on the whiskey, you know, get ready.
Board up the windows. Just playing. So let's get to the fantasy news. There's not really that much, but we're just going to call this the day-to-day segment because we did see some running backs get hurt yesterday, but their coaches are pretty much saying, like, hey, like, I don't think it's that bad of an injury. He's day-to-day. So David Montgomery, he got rolled up early on in the game, and we saw Khalil Herbert go off, and Coach Eberflus says he's day-to-day. Yeah. Tua got banged up in the first half of the game. He came back in the second half of the game and he was performed. Josh Allen also got banged up, but they both should be fine. We saw Dalvin Cook mess up his shoulder in yesterday's game, but Coach O'Connell says he's fine too. He's day to day. But then, like I said before, Mac Jones has a high ankle sprain. They're going to do MRI testing today. I did not hear anything on that, John, and I don't know if you got any results on that.
Yeah, I heard that it came back as a, you know, a high grade, high ankle sprain. So, nothing broken, no ligaments torn. So that's always good. But yeah, it's going to be as bad a high ankle sprain as you can get without needing surgery.
Well, damn. Yeah. So he's probably going to be on the shelf.
Yeah. It's looking like 4 to 6 weeks. So not great.
God,
Bailey Zappi time, baby.
Oh, wow. They're going to be running the ball 60 times a game.
Yeah.
So that's our injury, short injury segment for the day. We're just going to get into the keep and cut segment that we typically do. And Coach John, let me ask you about this guy. I have so many shares of DJ Moore. How are you feeling on him? Do you want to keep him? Do you want to cut him?
I don't know if you can cut him quite yet, but you can't start him. So, I mean, I think you hold on to him, see what happens. And maybe he builds this connection with Baker, but I just don't like what I'm seeing out of that offense right now. It's just Baker is not moving the ball as we expected. Not targeting DJ Moore. It's just static at best. So, I would try and package him up with someone else and see if you can, you know, maybe get some name value there, but he's not startable, but I don't know if I'm dropping him quite yet. There's still some hope, in my opinion. It's week 3. I'd probably wait till week 5 before you start dropping names like DJ Moore.
For sure. He's definitely not getting dropped. I made that commitment, fourth round commitment, pretty much for him in multiple leagues. So, like, I'm definitely going to be stubborn and probably start him one more week because, like, I just probably don't have an option. But, like, he's definitely worth the spot on the bench too, because he hasn't been performing. He's under 30 yards basically. He's not getting the touchdowns. You got like Shai Smith and Robbie Anderson, like guys like them just overperforming the offense. Even Christian McCaffrey doesn't look good. It looks like I don't even know what to make of that offense whatsoever.
Yeah, it's weird that they're not using their like two best assets on offense. It just feels strange that like Christian McCaffrey's not getting targeted and neither is DJ Moore, and it's like those are the people that you should be operating your offense through. But I don't know, Baker is against it for some reason.
Yeah, I think Matt Rule's just trying to get fired. Like,
he's just trying to, he's trying to get canned as soon as possible.
Unbelievable. And another guy that was a popular pick, pretty much in the same profile as Elijah Moore. He has the same last name. I mean, DJ Moore is Elijah Moore. And we see Gary Wilson just being electric for the Jets week after week after week. And Corey Davis gets some sightings. But then Elijah Moore feels like the forgotten piece. Is he cut worthy, or you're keeping him on your team as well?
I'm still hanging on to Elijah Moore, I think, for two reasons. One, I want to see what this offense looks like with Zach Wilson back under center. I want to see, you know, anytime there's a quarterback change, you get a lot of sort of moving pieces and moving parts for fantasy. So always kind of hold on to that. And then also, I think Elijah Moore, the talent, is super talented. There will be spike weeks because Garrett Wilson's coming into his own and Corey Davis is seeing his targets. But Elijah Moore in a vacuum is a super talented wide receiver, and he can have boom spike weeks and get in the end zone. So I'm not worried about it, but the down games hurt. They suck. I just think the consistency is not going to be great with Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I'm keeping him as well. Like, Zach Wilson coming back in 1 or 2 weeks definitely has a shining, a saving hope for the Elijah Moore. But we saw the talent last year. I can't, like, cut him, but I'll definitely trade him, put him on the block, see what I could get in return. Brandon Cooks, another fellow. I personally, I'm keeping him. Like, he still has a massive target share on the team. Like, he's going to be the first look for Davis Mills, and personally, to be honest, like, teams could scheme him up. And like, I know Brandon Cooks makes his hay off of touchdowns and long receptions for most part, but I think they'll work it. I think they'll get him right, so I'm keeping him on my roster.
And I agree. And Brandon Cooks' career has never been a model of consistency. He's never been this guy who's got a high floor type of player. He's a low floor, high ceiling type of guy where all it takes is one or two big plays and he makes your day. But if he doesn't connect on those plays, then it's tough sledding. So he hasn't in the past two games. It's been kind of he missed on a couple bombs, but those will come. I'm not cutting bait with Cooks quite yet.
Okay, me neither. And another guy, head scratcher, pretty much drafted in the same range. We have Allen Robinson. Like, the first week, no show. Second week, he's kind of showing some life, and then this week is just like the same thing. He feels like he's thrown up on himself. Like, I wouldn't cut none of these guys. Like, obviously, I would try to trade some, just get something for him before you even like cut him to the pine. But Allen Robinson, like, I don't even think I want to even start him as a flex like anymore.
No, and that's the thing. And I was kind of off on Allen Robinson coming into the season. His draft capital was just a little high. I didn't love what he had put on tape the season prior, and so, you know, I was iffy on him. And so for the first 3 weeks, what I believed is coming true is coming true. And so I don't have much Allen Robinson shares, and I'm grateful for that. But if you do, I mean, it's hard to cut somebody that with that big of a name on that high powered of an offense. But at some point we have to realize, like, it's just not coming to fruition. He's not getting targeted the way we expected. He's not being used in this offense the way we expected. And when he is, he's not very explosive with the ball in his hands at all. So I don't know. I don't know what to do with Allen Robinson. I don't think you can trade much for him. You certainly can't start him. So he is the closest one to a cut for me. And we'll talk about some waiver wire ads. And it's the question of who do you cut is always who are you adding. So maybe we'll bring up some names and we'll play the game of would you rather Allen Robinson or this guy? But it's getting pretty scary. I'm at the point now where if I had Allen Robinson, I would consider cutting him because he's impossible to start.
I hear you. He's basically a touchdown or bust wide receiver, and that's kind of like a tight end model that we typically see that for, too, which is crazy. So right before we get into waivers, we have a fellow follower of ours, Cameron B. He's been hitting the chat up very frequently over the last week.
What's up, Cameron?
What's up, Cameron? He coaches in a 16-team full PPR league. Mac Hollins and KJ Osborne are both available on the waiver wire, which suggests dropping KJ Hamler for either of them. Any upside to Hamler I'm missing? I don't think you're missing any upside on Hamler, but I guess I will go with KJ Osborne, just a better offense. I just know, like, between Adams, you could probably say the same thing about Vikings, but between Adams, Waller, and Renfro, I think Matt Collins probably is just going to be one of those guys that you're searching for those spike weeks every now and then.
Yeah, I think you can drop KJ Hamler for either one of these players, I think you're totally fine. The Denver offense does not look as explosive as we expected. You know, Mac Hollins just had a massive game. I don't predict he's going to have another 150 yards and a score anytime soon, but it's good signs that he's getting targeted. And KJ Osborne, same thing, just got in the end zone recently. And so I like both of these players better than KJ Hamler. If I had to pick one, I'm probably with KJ Osborne as well. I just like the talent. I think the offense is going to throw the ball a lot more, and there is a chance he can sort of emerge as the deep threat. You know, they take their chances every once in a while with KJ Osborne, whereas Mac Hollins is going to be very, both are going to be hard to predict, but I think Mac Hollins is going to be even more hard to predict. His disappearing acts will really happen, whereas KJ Osborne is going to get targeted at least 4 or 5 times every game, and then hopefully, you know, you get a game like last game where he's targeted 8 times and gets in the end zone.
Also, like, injury aside too, like, you always want to pray for everyone's perfect health, but like, I know Adam Thielen isn't like Mr. Strongman either. So like,
yeah, you guys expect
the increased role with Hamler. I mean, with Osborne in case like that situation arises. Mm-hmm. Okay, so right before we get into waivers, guys, we're going to go with our recap from last week. Coach Steve, he recommended the Cardinals running backs, the 49ers running backs, and Isaiah Likely, that were both all duds. But some things that he got right was Greg Dortch. He had 9 for 80 yards, mm-hmm. almost touchdown, I believe. And then he still has Richie James performing tonight on Monday Night Football. Hopefully he does well. He's been in the Giants game plan the last couple of weeks and looks to stay there. For myself, I picked Jimmy G. He threw up on himself last night. The Cardinals running backs, Hayden Hurst and Logan Thomas, they were all duds. But hey, I did get Josh Palmer right, so I guess I'm 1 for 4. And then Coach John, he suggested Raheem Mostert, Darrell Williams, Logan Thomas, and Jimmy G as well. It's not like they're duds, but they didn't really do nothing for you if you got them off the waiver wire. And then obviously, Coach John has Noah Brown tonight riding on Monday Night Football, so maybe that would be a good suggestion. And hopefully Richie James and Noah Brown both come through for us tonight.
That would be nice.
All right. So into the main talk, guys. We're going to give our top 5 picks overall. Like I said last week, I just give you 1 for pretty much every position just because some teams have different needs. You may be loaded at running back, you may be loaded at wide receiver, so I'll just give you a top player at my position. But Coach John, give me your first, or if you want to do like last week, we'll go through all 5.
Okay. I started with kind of the 2, in my opinion, no-brainers, probably shouldn't be on waivers as it is. Khalil Herbert and Jaylen Warren. Those are both guys that, like, if something ever happens to the starter, the same way we view Alexander Mattison, they're going to walk into a massive workload and be pretty good at it. So we watched Khalil Herbert explode when Montgomery went out, and Jaylen Warren, in the little bit of work that he got behind Najee Harris, looked great and looked explosive, much more explosive than any other backup has ever been in Pittsburgh. So I think both of those guys, if they're on your waivers, Khalil Herbert especially, because it looks like David Montgomery might miss a week. So you grab them, and they're very much in the mix of how we should think of Alexander Mattison and some of these other key handcuffs, these key backups. So those 2 for me were kind of easy. And then for wide receivers, I think we have to start looking at Zay Jones. I think we have to start paying attention, which is crazy. But, you know, we talked about this, you know, all offseason at the Fantasy Coaches. Is Trevor Lawrence was drafted to be a superstar. He had a crappy, you know, situation coaching wise. He had crappy everything, but give this kid a chance. And he's coming around. He's looking great. He's, you know, spreading the ball around. Christian Kirk is a wide receiver 1, and Zay Jones is getting targeted in the red zone. So I think we have to start paying attention. I'm not willing to start Zay Jones quite yet, but, you know, a lot of people are still holding on to guys like KJ Hamler that we just talked about. And I think now it's safe to drop a KJ Hamler for a Zay Jones. The other one is Romeo Doubs. I think Romeo Doubs is probably another guy who might not be on your waivers if you're in a very, very competitive league. But he's only 18% rostered in Yahoo and Sleeper, so he's out there somewhere. But we saw what happened. He can be that guy. He got a touchdown. He had almost 100 yards. Aaron Rodgers talked him up all preseason. They're hurting for pass catchers, so I think Romeo Doubs is someone who could emerge in this offense. You know, I don't know what's Christian Watson's status injury wise and all that, but I think he did enough in this past game to give himself some serious snaps. And then KJ Osborne, who we talked about. And the last one is Hayden Hurst, who I think is kind of Mr. Necessary at the tight end position. tight end's not pretty. It's not sexy right now. You know, we're watching even guys like George Kittle throw up duds. So you just need targets. And it looks like Hayden Hurst is getting targeted, and he won't break the bank. He won't have a Mark Andrews type game, but he won't also crap out on you either. So you're getting at least 5 to 10 points. So that's, you know, helpful. It's helpful.
That's all. Hey, man, you sure saw what I got from my tight end this week. It wasn't lovely. So I'll take what he's got.
I was so excited to start George Kittle in multiple leagues. And then I looked and I went, oh, man, he's just like every other tight end.
I fell asleep after like 5 minutes of that game, woke up, saw the score. I was like, I'm glad I didn't stay up that whole game. Lord have mercy. Let me get into my picks, guys. Number one, yeah, I agree with John Khalil Herbert. 157 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Look explosive on every single run that I was watching on Red Zone. The guy had a 7.8 yards per carry. Like, I think the Bears would be dumb, like flat out dumb, not to give this guy like a little bit more work, even right, with Monty comes back. So like, regardless, like if they kind of eating each other's work, you don't want that, but still, like, you're showing good positive signs. Like, he's making the Bears coaching staff think. Hopefully Monty gets back. For anyone who has Herbert all their team already, you probably pray he doesn't come back. So we'll still wait and see the approach Monty's day to day. Number two for me is going to be Romeo Doubs. Like, Sammy Watkins went on IR late during the week last week. And like you mentioned with Christian Watson, like, he got scratched late on game day. And then that leaves Randall Cobb, Romeo Doubs, and God, I don't even know who else they have left. It's
me. They call me and I go take some snaps every once in a while.
Winfrey. Yeah. But still, like, Romeo Doubs had, like, he was getting looked early and often. He had a touchdown, 8 receptions, 73 yards. Like, Rodgers needs someone he can rely on. And I know rookies are typically not that thing, but for Rodgers to go at this guy constantly, that shows me that he's willing to risk the biscuit. And I want this guy on my team. So especially, like, you don't even know, like, he's 20.4% owned on, I guess that's Fantasy Pros, according to Fantasy Pros. So like, even if you don't really need him, put him on your roster. Like, you're probably getting, I wouldn't say like the number one guy for Aaron Rodgers, cause that's Alan Lazard, but you're definitely getting the surefire too. And we haven't seen that offense produce a number two in a while, besides that when Devontae Adams was there. Number three, tight end, I'm going to go Tyler Conklin. It's very weird. Like, I would never recommend a Jets tight end, but at least you got him for one more week, especially if you're missing someone on that position. But if you look at his last 2 weeks of production, he should be closer to like the low end starters based off usage, especially in PPR formats. Over the last 2 weeks, he's caught 14 receptions for 124 yards on 17 targets. That is 10 points he's averaging. He hasn't scored less than 10 points in fantasy PPR league, so he's not killing you. And he's playing a whopping 90% of the snaps. So, like, that's good indications of usage. So, like, 16% owned, you need a tight end, go get him. Guy who's playing tonight, I'm going to go Sterling Shepard, according to Fantasy Pros. Consensus ranking 24.9% owned. We've seen Galladay just stir up a muck. Like, he's not getting any snaps or run from the new coaching regime. Kadarius Toney, he's hurt. He's kind of been like a yo-yo this off season into early season. And you guys got like Richie James out there who's been producing, but Daniel Jones has his safety blanket and Sterling Shepard. And I'm just surprised he's still this lowly owned. I'm pretty sure he's probably owned in some of your shallower leagues. But if Sterling Shepard's on waivers, like, the guy is going to, like, he should perform. Like, he had 10 targets last week, although it was like minimum yardage. I think he had like a 3.4 yard per target or yard per catch. So if you could get that up, get a touchdown, I think Sterling Shepard should kind of benefit and be a good wide receiver three for you, especially if you play in those type of formats. And then I'm going to go Greg Dortch for my last one. I saw that AJ Greens has a bone bruise. We know Rondell Moore's been, hasn't been in the lineup the last first 3 weeks.
I was going to say, he's a myth.
Hopkins is still not going to be back for 3 more weeks after this. So like, Greg Dortch, even like, he's not the name brand guy on the offense, he's still producing. I don't see his role or changing with AJ Green being out for a week. And if Rondo Moore is out again, he should have a decent, he should have an even better week or more expanded role per se. So those are my guys on our top 10 for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just going to go into position by position, guys. This week, I'm going to give you a check and see if they're available. That's more than 40% of the week's leagues, guys. We do 40% threshold. So if Dak Prescott is out on your waiver wire, please go grab him, especially if you have an IR spot.
Mm-hmm.
He should be back. Jerry Jones said 4 weeks. I think that should be like 2 weeks, if that. So this game or next game, he should be coming back the minimum. And just hold him on your roster if you have an IR spot. But some guys that you can recommend for people who are in a pinch under 40% owned. We have Geno Smith. He faces the Detroit Lions this week. You have Jacoby Brissett versus Atlanta Falcons, 3% owned. This is for you Mac Jones guys out there. Ryan Tannehill versus the Colts, 16% owned. Yeah, if you could go back to Matt Ryan, who faces the Titans at 27% owned. And then Jared Goff, probably the ace of the bunch you'll probably want to get. He's facing Seattle, 35% owned. Some running backs, guys. Check to see if they're available more than 40% of leagues. If someone dropped James Cook, he had a decent game, some usage. We saw Devin Singletary outperform everything. I think I had him at a bust this week, so that's kind of on me. Alexander Mattison, Dalvin Cook's shoulder injury. You got to have him on the – he cannot be on waivers, guys. So yeah, if someone dropped him, pick him up. Brian Robinson should be coming back within 2 weeks. So if he's out there on IR, put him on your bench and let it rock. Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift. I forgot to put that in the news. I knew I missed something. DeAndre Swift might be out for a week or two.
Yeah, I heard the report was week to week with a shoulder. So, yeah, not good.
Like, if Jamal Williams is out there on your waiver wire, he's more than 40% owned, put him number one. This guy has been grinding touchdowns left and right, vulturing every single game, and now he's going to have the workload to himself. Come on.
Yeah, it's chalk. It's chalk. It's Jamal Williams chalk week for sure.
Yes, for sure. And then Jeff Wilson, like, he shouldn't be there, but like somehow he's on your waiver wire. Grab him. The guy is just getting majority of the rushing snaps. I think he has 75 yards in both games at least. So ain't going to hurt you.
And there's not even a second. Like, Ty David Price saw, I think it was 7 or 8 carries when he played last week. And then Jordan Mason this week, I thought, okay, Jordan Mason will get some run. You know, he'll see if he carries. He saw one carry. I mean, it's Jeff Wilson. It's just Jeff Wilson. And as much as we hate to admit it, and as much as we want to be like, oh, someone else is going to come. No, it's Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson's going to be the guy until proven otherwise. So I was hesitant to start him. I was hesitant to, you know, pick him up and all that because I'm like, oh, it's Jeff Wilson. Same old song and dance. But he's going to get 75 yards. He's a lock for 75 yards and a score almost every week. So it's crazy.
It really is. I scooped him up on my team. I literally put how I built my team. I didn't have an RB2. So yeah. I was like, I'll just find somebody. I was like, oh, Jeff Wilson. He's always a guy everyone's clamoring about. And then boom.
Boom. Right. Say la vie. It's crazy how fantasy works.
For real. So some guys under 40%, and then we'll get into some of these questions I see in the chat. Samaje Perine, 5% owned. We saw Joe Mixon kind of have an ankle soreness. Zach Taylor says he should be good to go for this Thursday night slate. So even if things go wrong, just pick him up. It's a role we've seen Samaje Perine be pretty good by himself when Joe Mixon was hurt last year and the season before. Khalil Herbert, we mentioned. Jontrell Hilliard. We have Jalen Warren that John recommended. Tyler Allgeier, too, even though Cordero Patterson had a monster day. He still got a little bit of work. He didn't do 3 yards per carry, but he had 4 yards per carry. Any 49ers running back left? So that'd be Jordan Mason. They're 5% and less owned. And Hassan Haskins, Coach Steve wanted to mention too. Mm-hmm. And then that's pretty much it. But let's go to Cameron real fast. So he says, thanks, guys. What are your thoughts on Dawson Knox? Disgusting. I feel like he's not worth a weekly start. Do you think he has any trade value? I got Njoku already on my roster and could stream him on his bye week.
Yeah, I mean, Dawson, tight ends in general don't have a ton of value unless your name is Kelsey or Mark Andrews. So I think you can try and spin the narrative of you get a pass catcher for Josh Allen and spin it that way and try and go for package him up and try and maybe get some sort of trade going. But Dawson Knox is fine. I mean, we mentioned some of the other guys, you know, I think you can do worse than, you know, I recommended Logan Thomas last week and he put up two receptions. So it's like, what are you really going to get? I think Dawson Knox is safe. You know, he's involved in this offense. He's seeing 4 or 5 targets a week. It's just the touchdowns haven't been there. And, you know, we talked about this all offseason that double digit touchdowns is probably not in the realm of possibility for Dawson Knox, but you know, it's hard to say because he could break a big score and the Bills are always a threat to put up 40 plus on anyone. So I think that's the reason why Dawson Knox is a good start. If you have Njoku, the problem is you're beating your head against the wall with both of those guys, is because when you play one, then Njoku probably goes off. And when Njoku's on the bench, that's when Knox probably goes off. And so it's just tough. But I think you're probably good with those two tight ends. I would keep rocking with Knox and Njoku for a little while. And just maybe if Dawson Knox has a big multi-touchdown game, you sell high. But I think right now you're not going to get what you are expecting for him.
No, I agree completely, 100%. Like, I don't think he has that much trade value unless, like, a team has even struggling worse than you are at tight end. But you should definitely wait for that moment where he does score all those touchdowns and he has a good performance on his game log. Then you could definitely flip him. But, like, it's not that bad having your two tight ends because, like, you know, Knox hasn't given you much already. And then at least Njoku has some form of life and he seems to be the second option on the Browns. So you got that going for you instead of being the third fiddle for the Buffalo Bills.
Right. Maybe even fourth. I mean, if you count Devin Singletary, I mean, he could even be the fourth passing option, which is crazy. But he does have that. He does have a knack in the red zone. So, you know, we'll see, you know, let's look it up. He had 4 receptions, 25 yards. Yeah. I mean, that's not going to win you a week unless he falls in the end zone. But it's also not a lot of times I think that the Bills are going to be held to under 20 points. So I think that's probably part of it too.
And then we also have a comment from Fantasy Sven. Swift could be gone the next 2 weeks. Then the Lions have a bye week and Swift will be back. Speculation, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's not outrageous. Dan Campbell did come out and say that the time off could be good for Swift to really recover. Yeah. I mean, why would you, if you're the Lions, why would you rush this guy back? You know, I think that they have enough with Craig Reynolds and Jamal Williams to make do for 2 weeks and then give him the bye week. And then he's 100% coming back for the second half of the season. So it would suck. It would suck for fantasy, but it makes sense from like the Lions standpoint, why you would do it.
Yeah. And it's not like we haven't seen fantasy. I mean, teams go with that motive in the past. Like we've seen plenty of teams. Oh, like, give him one more week. The bye will do him better justice. So like you got a good point about that. And then he also says what Dan say about him. Goddamn cat. Basically that he should be basically that Dan Campbell said DeAndre Swift should just rest. It'll do him more justice instead of going out there and kind of re-aggravating the injury.
Yeah. Which is fair. Dude, I just looked it up. Jamal Williams is running back 4 on the year.
He's killing it.
He's set up for success the next 2 weeks. This is crazy.
They got more out of him than Kamara, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, nuts.
All right, and let's go into the wide receivers. And if these guys are on your waiver wire, they're more than 40% owed. We have Russell Gage, explosive game yesterday afternoon, scored the game-winning touchdown. Obviously, his role will change when Mike Evans comes back and they have a healthy Godwin and whatnot, but he's looking way better than Julio Jones at the moment. DJ Chark, I don't know why I just put them on there. You still have Michael Gallup. He's not going to play tonight, guys, but he should be back next week. I've seen a couple of people drop Treylon Burks in my leagues. That's a no-no.
He almost scored
a touchdown.
Yeah.
He got caught on the 1-yard line. Do grab him. Chris Olave, Jarvis Landry was kind of nicked up. I know Michael Thomas has a toe injury, so it might be Olave season in effect. Jahan Dotson, Darnell Mooney, and Tyler Boyd. We saw T. Higgins get nicked up again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like concussion like once in like every 2.5 weeks or 1.5 weeks. So he might be out. And people kind of cut Mooney as a spite drop. So yeah, that's a that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think you got to pick up Mooney just to see, but that Bears offense is atrocious. It's not good. It's not good. They're not throwing the ball at all. They're running it. To me, it's crazy that you would think you'd start to unleash Justin Fields and see what you got in Fields and see what you got in the arm talent. We know what he can do on the ground. There's no need to design plays and watch Justin Fields run. We know he can do that, but I want to see what he can do through the air, and they're just not. And so I was one of the ones who said, oh, Justin Fields and Mooney he's going to have 120 targets. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be so, and I was definitely one of those guys that bought into it. And now I'm looking back going, maybe they just really don't trust Justin Fields to push the ball downfield, which sucks for Darnell Mooney because that's who he is.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. Yeah, I was on that camp too. Yep. You could have 120 targets on that bench, tell you that much. And let's get into some guys under 40% owned, widely available. Matt Collins, like our camera mentioned earlier, he's available in his league. He's 1% owned. Zay Jones is 9% owned guys, so go grab him. Coach John's recommendation. Devontae Parker came to life.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
24% owned. We have Isaiah McKenzie sighting. I finally kind of had the role that people were respecting him as a late draft pick. 29% owned. Greg Dortch, 8% owned guys. My recommendation. You have Josh Reynolds, 1% owned. Our recommendation, Romeo Dubs, is 18% owned. Josh Palmer still floating around that 31%. Threshold. Keenan Allen might be back this week pretty much, so that could be not really good for him. And then KJ Osborne is 5% owned guys. And then for the tight ends, guys who are Njoku's barely owned in 40% guys, so he's just going to make this half the list. Logan Thomas, Irv Smith Jr., and Gerald Everett, guys who could be available more than 40%. And then guys under 40%, Caden Hurst that Coach John recommended 23%, Tyler Conklin at 15%, and then Robert Tonyan at 24%. Sorry.
You're fine. Yeah, all of those guys, I think you're just looking for, a safety net. You're looking for a floor, somebody to just plug and play. None of those guys are really going to dominate your week. So that's why I like both Tyler Conklin and Hayden Hurst, because they've shown in the past couple games that they do have a much better floor than the Logan Thomases and Robert Tonyans of the world.
I'd rather have a baseline instead of just chasing that touchdown score from the previous week,
100%.
And let's go back to the chat. Cameron says, thanks guys, left Njoku on the bench this week and started Knox.
That's how it works with these, that level. And I get it, because Njoku and Knox are that perfect level of do I start him this week, do I not start him? They're like right on the edge of that, leave him in your lineup type of guy, and it's just, you're going to be playing that battle. I mean, maybe you can package up Njoku and someone to get an upgrade at tight end and then just use Knox as a safety valve if you need to. So, but yeah, it's tough. That's tough. Those are, every week you're going to have that same debate in your head, and it's going to suck. I hate to break it to you, Cameron. I'll help you as much as I can.
How do we feel about Amari Cooper, man? He's actually looking like he's going to poop on his average draft position from the draft season. So do we think he's a solid wide receiver too?
I don't know about solid. He's a low-end wide receiver too for me. I think there's just not enough passing yards and enough volume in this offense to really break a game. I think what you're going to see, 80 yards and a score, 100 yards and a score, that's going to be a good game for Amari Cooper. I don't think he's ever really going to multi-score games, 150 yards plus. I just don't think that's in the Browns' DNA. I think the Browns want to win games on the ground. I think they want to try and win on defense and take their shots when they can with Jacoby Brissett. And the shots are going to Amari Cooper, so that's good. And it's definitely a good sign for any sort of dynasty, because once Deshaun Watson comes back, then it totally changes the game. And then Amari Cooper is a different animal. But I think you can tread water with Amari Cooper in your lineup for now. And then when Deshaun Watson comes back, I think everything's copacetic.
I think he's like, I'll agree. I wouldn't say solid. Like, he's going to be a low-end wide receiver too, but I just love how the Browns operate. They're going to run the ball first, and he's going to get open on these play-action passes, and we've seen how smooth of a route running he is, so he's going to be open, and it's making Jacoby Brissett, it's making it easier for Jacoby Brissett to pass it to him. So I do like Amari Cooper. Could have been a buy-low opportunity like week one, but hey, that's why we're late on things. And finally, from the Raptors in Buffalo, actually, in Miami.
Yeah, Coach
Miami.
Steve.
Coach Steve. Woo, woo.
Coach Steve.
How are you?
Good, buddy.
I'm just kidding. He had some family things to do, guys. But that's going to do it.
All right.
Quick and painless, guys. As always, you can follow our content at www.thefantasycoaches.com, where we have our rankings. We have our articles. We have the Dynasty Coaches. We have Star Ascent. You can find us there. You could email us, get all the content out. We're here to help you guys. We'll be back Thursday for our start and sit episode. We're going to come in full effect. We're going to make sure we actually pass with a winning grade this time around.
Yeah. I promise the fans I'll do better.
Is there anything you want to say before we
No, I hope people listened and bought on Chris Olave all off season. I hope they drafted him. Hope they did it, because he had 20 PPR points without a touchdown. And that's just, you know, proof that they're going to keep chucking the ball downfield. They're going to keep taking targets for this kid. He is going to explode, in my opinion, in a serious way. If he hasn't already in your league, and people, if he's not untradeable yet, then go try and trade for him now. Because touchdowns are going to come, big plays are going to come. And I mean, he's getting back-to-back 13 target games. So, that's just another crying endorsement to go get Chris Olave on your fantasy rosters.
Chris Olave season, guys. And it's James season too. He's saying F it and chuck it.
He's just, which is why one of the reasons why I love Chris Olave the whole time is Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston just is going to throw deep balls and just chuck it up. I don't care. And Olave is going to be the one who's down there. So, you know, he's going to connect. If he connects on a few of them, you know, the air yards were outrageous 2 games ago. He connected on a few. He had 157 yards. So, you know, I think he's going to be a big play. You know, that 40 yard, if you're in any sort of like big play bonus type of league and any of that, like I think you just plug him in your flex and you just watch and watch as the points come pouring in.
And that is Coach John's endorsement. And guys, thank you for listening. Have a great night.
Boom. Peace.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of Clark Kent. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like pooper scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. I listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowin' that, blowin' that, blowin' that, go.